I want to welcome everybody to the March 30th HMA conference call. We should have a good amount of people on. So far we got four or five or six, and I want to welcome Paul Flood, John Strange from Dallas, Texas, Stephen Wells from Scotland. Then we've got Rodney Burge. He's one of our newest HMA consultants. He's a dentist out of Chicago.
But not for long, Michael.
Not for long. That's what you're going to get out of that.
I just read this joint venture stuff, man. I haven't been able to sit down since I've read the joint venture magic.
Okay, that's great. I'm glad you're excited. So we'll probably have a few more people come on as we go on. And I want to go over a couple of changes. I don't know if anyone's noticed, if anyone's been into the HMA University. I've spent about 10 hours reorganizing that whole section of the site. Instead of two pages where it was a little confusing, there's going to be one main page. I will also be changing the username and the password, and I will be sending that to everyone. So it's going to be one username, one password. You're going to have one control panel, and you'll have access to all the tools and all the requirements. I've also added thousands of dollars worth of some of my other products that I sell. As you know, the Joint Venture Magic is one course that I sell individually outside of the HMA system, and you know that comes in addition when you become a consultant. But I've also added my Barter Secrets course, which is extremely powerful, and it's on trade and on barter. If you're not familiar with it, for some people it's almost impossible to get wrapped around their head, but once you get it, you got it. Either people get it or they don't, but I would encourage everyone to go through those recordings, and I've got a little loophole on how to buy trade dollars. It's like buying a dollar at 20 cents on the dollar. And you don't have as large of a market to spend your dollar. You only spend it within an organization. But I have hours of consultations explaining this concept, and it could be very powerful when used as a consultant if you're in the right area. So I've added that included with the HMA system. I've also added a new product I have, which is called the Eugene Schwartz Master Pack. And Eugene Schwartz is one of the greatest copywriters ever. He's not alive anymore, but it's a product I sell, and it's just chock full of links. I've also added another product that I have called the Phone Secrets, and it's a product that I developed when I was working with George, my tanning bed client, because he was doing such a poor job on the front end handling incoming calls, and we put together a whole product on how to handle incoming calls, and that's available for you free in the HMA University. And then there's another product I added, which has been in there, but a lot of people may not know, and it's called the $31,500 Links Package, and it's just a humongous package of resources and links for free web hosting, all kinds of free stuff. And it's just chock full of great resources, especially internet related. Some other news, I'm working with my website host provider, the people who provide my server time. His name is Nick Gilbert. Some of you may have heard me consult with him, do a USP call with him, but he approached me and wanted to put together an entire product based on his years of selling hosting service. He sold millions and millions of dollars worth of hosting, and he's learned a lot of real secret stuff. He's originally a programmer, and we've just recorded six modules on internet marketing. So it's an entire course, and I negotiated it free for the HMA consultants. That's going to be available probably in the next 4 or 5 weeks. That'll be up there as well. I also have some exciting new recordings you definitely want to check out on the HMA University. They're done. I just have to put them on that link, but they'll be in your control panel. One is a wonderful, riveting recording with Dave Flannery. And I had done a series of recordings on joint ventures, getting stories about people out there who have had successful joint ventures. And Dave had put together several joint ventures to get consulting clients. And you do not want to miss this, because doing it this way, even if you don't know the content, is just 100 times easier than going after clients by doing cold calls on the phone. So that's going to be up there, and he's going to give you a blueprint of exactly how he did it, and you should be able to follow his direction and do the same thing. He's laid it out all very specifically. Also, an inspirational recording with one of our new HMA consultants, Rob Henschel, out of Traverse City. The story goes like this, just in a nutshell. You can hear the whole recording on the HMA University, but Rob had signed up. He did the payment plan. He was really struggling. He's got some financial problems and family problems, and his back was against the wall. He ordered the HMA system, and it came down to 30 days. He didn't quite have his first client to pay for that next payment, and we were about to quit. He was going to send his stuff back, and he was going to throw in the towel, or I was maybe going to say, you need to throw in the towel. But he had an appointment that night and the next day, and he got two new clients. And you'll hear that whole story and maybe some of the things he learned, because he was struggling a little bit, and he did some things a little differently and took a little different approach that seems to make make a big difference. So you can hear that recording. Another great story you want to definitely check out is one with a new consultant, Jim Kinesey. Jim, are you on the line by any chance? Okay, he's not with us. Well, this call is going to be recorded for promotional purposes, and this will definitely be up in the conference call section at the HMA University. But his story is how he took one small recording. He was getting ready to go in to see a client. He's a marketing consultant already, and he had listened to part of the Sam Bowman recording, and he was able to use that information to kind of get an idea of how to present and make the offer to his client. He was able to get a client for $15,000, and you'll have that whole story there as well. Over the years, as I get some documents and promotional pieces, Paul Flood has been generous enough to provide to all the HMA consultants a sales letter he's put together, a couple press releases, all related to the HMA, and that's going to be up there. So I've got a collection of documents, proposals that other HMA consultants have put together and shared with me that'll be available for everyone in the HMA University for ideas and things that they can modify and use as well. So those are some of the new things. Now, Richard was unable to make it today, but I didn't want to cancel the call. I figure we could put this time into good use. He'll be back on Friday, April 6th, so we'll continue on. And for any questions directed at Richard, we'll save them for that time. So a week from today, same time. And I'd like to take this time and introduce a very special guest. His name is Bill Beaudry. Some of you who've been listening to the audio recordings have probably heard multiple recordings. We've done four in the past. Bill and I have done a recording on creativity, on brainstorming, on sales scripting, referral marketing, and of course on USPs. Bill is an expert in marketing, creativity, innovation, and peak human performance with a wide international experience in a variety of fields. He holds a master's degree in engineering, an MBA from Cornell University, and a master's degree in clinical nutrition. His background before becoming a private consultant includes positions as a management for Bose Allen and Hamilton, engineer for Eastman Kodak and IBM, investment strategies for Citibank Asia, director of research from various Wall Street firms, and a direct investment specialist for Hong Kong and China. Bill now, I believe, mainly lives in New York. Bill, are you going back to Hong Kong and Shanghai currently?
Not so much.
So you're mainly in New York. You've written a number of management, marketing, and mind training books, including what we're interested in is How to Write a $1 Million USP and a variety of health peak performance and business efficiency and mental training ebooks. So he'll be here for you HMA consultants to really try and solidify and clear up any confusion on USPs, and I'll be the first one to attest. The USP, for me, it's just a hard thing to grasp. I still struggle with it, and I'm sure some of the consultants do because all the businesses have unique situations, and so hopefully this time we can spend really grilling Bill and trying to get a good understanding on the USP. So he's here to answer any questions we have, but let me first ask you this, Bill. Why is it that getting a USP down can be such a difficult process?
You know, Mike, if you're talking to a business, they usually have competitors, and they want to make sure all the people come to them rather than the competitors. So the key is, well, what do they say in their advertising that's going to make people come to them rather than everybody else? And you can get at this a bunch of different ways, but the real key is they have to come down to a USP, something that makes them different from everybody else and promises something to the consumer, to the customer. And if they get that right, then there's a naturalness in terms of the market demand coming to them where they don't have to work as hard. And so coming up with that USP is usually the gist of marketing strategy. And, you know, I was talking to somebody just the other day, one of my friends, he's a consultant, and he used to work at McKinsey. And he said that when he actually looked after spending a couple years at McKinsey at all the big Fortune 500 firms who were really successful in strategy, he said, you know what it was? They all had a USP. So basically, what we're getting at with the USP is, what's your competitive advantage, or what are you going to basically be saying to the marketplace that's going to make the consumer turn his head and say, yeah, I prefer this guy versus the other guy? So that's the key. And as a marketing consultant, you know, you can do all sorts of things with upsells and joint ventures and follow-ups and database marketing and direct marketing and all this other stuff. But, you know, the real core of it, probably the first step is you got to find out, what are you going to say to the marketplace? What's the USP, the unique selling proposition? So I consider it the fundamental first step in doing the marketing consulting for any type of business.
Okay. The very first project of the HMA system is developing and creating a USP. The second step is integrating that USP all through the business. Now, we've all heard of the traditional examples of USPs like Domino's and Avis and Federal Express, and they're short, punchy, little, like, one-liners. But other USP experts describe USPs as being more like a paragraph, multiple things. Should a USP be very short, or should it be longer, like a paragraph form, or should it be both, and can both forms be used for the client throughout the consulting process?
Now, there's no general rule. When people are writing books, of course, they make them short because it's easier to understand things, but they should be as long as they need to be and no longer to get the business. A USP for, let's say, a computer programmer could be, hey, you know, I'm going to give you a guarantee, and we're going to run down this checklist of things after I do the computer programming for you, and if it's not exactly what you want, I'll keep working on it for 6 months later, and, I mean, that's long. So if that's what he has to say, that's his package to get business, that's his USP, that can be many paragraphs. But, of course, you know, the ones that are famous are Domino's Pizza and FedEx or whatever, because they're short and people have collapsed it. And it's easy to understand what people are talking about, but every business is different. And you might be in a very technical service field where you have to go through two or three paragraphs to explain what you're doing.
Okay, so let me give you an example. Rob, do you want to use your example with your client, what you were up against and why it was such a challenge to come up with something and kind of propose that to Bill?
Yeah, the challenge is that it's such a diverse store and it's very unique. There's a store like this for hundreds of miles. They've got everything from groceries to lawnmowers and hardware, full meat counters, like small engines, that gasoline. The store does everything. And it's a convenience store to boot. So it's a really unique store in that. And the HMA system says 90 words or less.
I don't know the store.
Okay, how would you approach this? Because when you walk into a client and they got all this, what are you looking for?
You know, when I work with people at USP, and really, it's not that complicated. You really can get it done. Usually we make a list of a bunch of questions, like, you know, how is this store different from others? What's the promise for this particular store? I would guess, you know, the big thing that you're going to focus on, because you're saying it's so different, it's its own unique category. So if that's the case, what you would focus on in terms of the USP is what's the promise? I mean, what are people thinking when they're going to go there? What is the promise that they're satisfying? Do you know that the store is satisfying or they're satisfying in their mind by deciding to go there rather than Walmart?
But if there's so many things to choose from, you could come up with 50 different USPs, and you could talk to the customers, you could talk to the owner. I guess you don't know if you really have the right one. There's no really right answer, is there? I guess having something is better than most of these businesses not having anything at all. Would you agree?
You know, for a store like this, which I haven't seen, the easiest way to do it then possibly is one of the methods of what I call method number 8 for coming with a USP is ask the customers. Find out why they are coming to them. Okay, how do they remember you? And you just have to poll them. And once they poll them, then you're going to find out, oh, this store, a certain percentage are going to say X, and 20% are going to say Y, and 30% are going to come and say Z. And there you go. That's going to come up with whatever the USP is, or the branding, or how this particular store should be presenting itself in the marketplace. So that's the easiest way. Instead of you trying to come up with hit and miss and guessing, find out what the customers are saying because you're just going to tap in already doing.
Bill, how do you present that? You do a consulting job for a client. They just paid $3,000 for this USP, and I've got a piece of paper with words on it. How do you present that so they feel like they're getting value on it?
Be more specific with your question.
Well, I'm working with a client. You know, we worked with them for about a week. I put together a USP, and they paid all this money, but they haven't made anything off it. You just say, okay, this is your USP, and this is what we're going to do with it?
The system we sell projects. The first step is in developing a USP. He charges client $3,000 for the first step of a 4 or 5 step system. The USP is first, but obviously the USP isn't going to bring instant riches for the business, but it's a fundamental step before the other steps are implemented. So he's asking, the client's paid good money, and you go in and present this project to the client. How do you position it so he knows that there's value? Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's just words on a piece of paper.
I understand what you're saying now. All right, let's refer to them like the Domino's Pizza or the FedEx or the NyQuil so that we can take your situation and then compare it to this so that you can understand it. You just basically went into a business. In finding out what the USP is, you found out what they're going to be promising, basically, you know, the benefit promise to customers and why they're unique, and you've made it in such a way that it's compelling, and there's a real reason for people to believe the claims. All those things are sort of summarized within the term USP. So now you say, we've just identified for your $3,000. You don't say for the $3,000, you know that, but I'm just telling you what you're actually doing. We've just identified the core reason people are going to come to you, what they're thinking about you. And what you now have to do is because this is the reason they're coming to you, this is the most attractive factor about you that you want promoted in all your advertising and marketing, now it's our job to put this in all the advertising and marketing and publicize it everywhere. And also, we have to make sure that all facets of your business correlate pretty well and reflect this USP, which we've determined is the real reason people are coming to you, so that you're amplifying that even more. Do you see what I mean? The USP is just basically finding out your competitive advantage, what you're going to broadcast to people so that they come to you, all right? It's the benefit that's going to attract them. It's unique, so you're different than everybody else, so they're going to come to you, and it's compelling. So you just identified that. So now you go back to the firm, you say, all right, now this is what you're going to put out on your flyers. This is in your marketing. If we have to paint the truck, that's what we're going to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So like, for instance, when FedEx said, all right, we're going to do overnight delivery, where it absolutely has to be there overnight, now that we know that, now we're going to advertise it everywhere, and now we better go inside our firm, FedEx, and we better make sure all our systems and processes are designed so that we definitely can do that and do it better and better and better over time. Same with Domino's Pizza. Once they promise that we're going to deliver you fresh, hot pizza in 30 minutes or less, and that's what they promise, then you have to go back, and they promise. Now you have to market it everywhere. You're advertising, radio, TV, ads, phone book, whatever. And also, you got to make sure that now you have it. Let's structure Domino's Pizza internally so that we can really do that. Otherwise, we're going to lose our shirts. So the USP is just basically, first off, deciding or determining what's the, I call it the competitive advantage for the firm, but basically it's what's the attractive proposal that you're publicizing to people that are going to make you come there. And now you guys basically say, well, now once we have it, let's make sure we can really supply that.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
And let's popularize it. When you do a USP, usually it's not for large firms. It's usually for a small professional or a product. And it's usually not very nebulous. Like I had a flutist, for instance, and he was making flutes and he wasn't making money. He didn't see any way to do that. So he basically said, well, I want to go into making more flute music and selling that. So his USP had to then focus on, well, why is his flute music something people should buy? Or, you know, why is it different than other music? And we finally realized that in the space of 20 minutes worth of questioning that, people kept coming back to him and rebuying his music and buying it for friends because it was really, really relaxing. It was the most relaxing music they've ever had. So his USP for the music became something along the lines of how you could use this to relax and de-stress the day or whatever. So when you're coming to the USP, you're trying to come up with what's this product represent in terms of a promise to people and why is it different from everything else? Then after you have that, then the reason people have Domino's Pizza, they recite that in FedEx, you know, when it positively absolutely has to be there overnight, is because they've made it really short and tight. They made the phrases compelling. And after you've designed or you found the USP, then the hard part is making it sing, making it really short and compelling. You know, like Nike, Just Do It, or Diamonds Are Forever.
Do you think it's critical for a business to have that short, tight, one-liner?
No, it's not necessary. But the ones that we have are famous because the ones we have are from multi-million dollar, multi-billion dollar companies that have the money to do that. Like, Taste Great, Less Filling with Miller Lite. Mm-hmm. Do everybody remember those Miller Lite commercials?
Yeah.
And, you know, it costs them millions of dollars to make it that short. Sometimes you can come up with one and right out of your mouth it's really that short. It doesn't have to be. If it's really short, like Diamonds Are Forever or Taste Great, Less Filling, usually the people have spent millions of dollars in advertising, showing commercials with all sorts of backdrop, you know, branding connotations that go behind it. But you don't need that.
What if you have a longer one that's more like a paragraph? How are you integrating that longer USP, which may cover four, five, six different reasons why, in all their marketing, you know, on their invoices, the way that people handle the phone calls, the processes of the business? Is having it too long or too much going to deter from the punch of it?
Once again, it's situation specific. You have to look at the particular situation and then you can say, oh, this is what they have to do. Let's use the computer programmer again and figure out what in the world we could do with somebody like this. Here's the situation. A guy might say, most computer programmers might charge you $100 an hour to write the program you need, and then you're stuck with it whether you like it or not because they don't offer any guarantees. So his USP might be, listen how long this is, because as a consultant, this is usually the type of person you're going to come upon. It's, you're going to come upon a professional typically, unless you're really good and you can walk into, you know, a multi-million dollar firm and sell this, but usually the advertising and branding guys are there. The computer programmer might say, well, what I'll do is I'll make sure you're completely satisfied, that's his promise, by checking with you every week for the next 8 weeks, So now you have a reason to believe him. Following the completion of writing the program for you, and to make sure you get exactly what you need, we'll go through my exclusive 8-step questionnaire to make sure I build you exactly what you need so there's more reason to believe. Plus, if your needs change, I'll come out and update your program for only $200 anytime within the first 2 years of installation. But that's what this guy needs for the market. Now, how can you reduce that into a sentence? You probably can. However, on his initial marketing, either verbally or a written letter that he sent out, or maybe it's on his website, he can put all that on his billing. Okay, he might be able to summarize that in one sentence, but that one sentence wouldn't have any meaning without this earlier information, which is what actually got somebody to buy in the first place. Do you see what I mean? So it's all situation specific. You can't just say, oh, here's the rule. You're a consultant. You have to use your brain to know where in the world you're going to apply this. If you're lucky, you can make it really short and then plaster it everywhere, but that's not necessarily so. So every situation is different, and you're all consultants. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about as to where you can put it or where you can apply it. Brevity is better than something that's very long, but if brevity at the very beginning doesn't tell the whole story or doesn't make people want to bite or attract people to you, then you need a longer story. You'll know that right away whenever you're working on the USP for people.
Here's a question from Richard Amons. He's a HMA marketing consultant. He says in Al Reese's book and Jack Trout, in their book Positioning, they state that the day of the USP is past and that now positioning is everything. Could you describe the difference between USP and positioning, and do you agree with them?
There's a bunch of marketing words that a lot of people mix together. They mix branding, brand statement, positioning, USP. You know, I don't think you have to worry about all this. You know, if somebody calls you in, they want to sell more. You want to find out their USP, why they're different, what their promise they're going to say to the community or customer base is, and, you know, why they can prove that so people believe them. Positioning is something, perception, that's happening in the minds of the target market. It's the aggregate perception that the market has of a particular product or company in relation to their perceptions of other competitors in the same category. And it's going to happen no matter whether you have a USP or not. An example is Diet Colas, okay? You know, there's Diet Pepsi and there's Diet Coke. Now, the USP for Diet Coke is great taste, and for Pepsi is one calorie, okay? That's the USP. Now, the positioning is when people think about Diet Coke, they're not just thinking great taste. They're thinking about a whole bunch of things that you can scale in sort of a multidimensional space. And I can't really think of, you know, off the top of my head those, because I don't worry about this. The positioning stuff is stuff that advertising agencies are going to do. You're never going to be drawn into that type of discussion of a consultant at this level of what you do. But the positioning thing is something that, you know, when they're working on commercials on TV, it's where marketers are trying to create an image or identity in the minds of the target market for something or other. But you have to basically start with the USP. And then you can position that same product many different ways in the marketplace. For instance, American Airlines has a branding sort of like, oh, it's American, it's institutional, et cetera. They can position different ways in the marketplace, but that's totally different from the real what's the big promise for that person and how's it unique and what the benefit is. But in general, I wouldn't worry about positioning and all that. You want to find out how can this product or this guy compete? What's their benefit? What's their unique difference? How are they different from other people? And you want to say it in a way that it's compelling and people believe you. That's it. Don't worry about positioning or this or that. You're rarely going to get into that discussion. Granted, if you're working at an advertising agency, yeah, but, you know, really, just go right down to the core basics. What's the USP for this software programmer or this roofer or this flutist or whatever? Just go down to that level. Don't worry about branding, positioning, and all these other areas. The USP is just get down to the basics of why this guy versus something else. That's what you got to work on.
Okay, great.
You said something a couple minutes ago about making USP sing. What is it about a USP that makes it sing for you?
Well, it's not for me. It's for the marketplace. That's the idea of you can have a very long one, but you got to, like, edit it down such that it's more compelling. For instance, you know, the ones that we remember are the ones that already sing, like where you talk about Domino's Pizza and FedEx. Everybody remembers them because they're short and they sing. Yours don't have to be that way. You can start off with a couple paragraphs, but if you can boil it down to something like that smaller, great, but if you can't, then you can't. But you're always working to make it very simple so that the consumer has a simple message. Because consumers can only remember one or two things about your product. So if you can hit on the one big thing about your product they should remember, and you can make it in a way that they can remember and appeals to them. That's what I call making it sing. And you know, when you're in a room and you're doing this with a bunch of people and somebody shouts out, oh, we should say this, everybody stops and they know, hey, that's good. I like the way you said that. Everybody knows, hey, that's something we might want to try. So that's how you know. It's the reaction of the people. It's what works.
Who just joined us?
It was Jim Canese.
Oh, hey, Jim, how are you? Is there anyone who has presented a USP? Paul, for example, can you give an example when you go in there and you deliver your USP, how do you position it to let your client know that here's your USP and here's the reason why it's valuable? So what Rob is saying, when he goes in there with that piece of paper and presents that USP, how do you do it with confidence to let the client know that he's getting value? Any feedback on that, Paul?
I tell people that this is the foundation of their company, and this is going to make the difference between a prospect going to the competitor or coming to them. I start out with that first sentence in the opportunity analysis being, why should I buy from you? And I just really plug that in and really pound on that continuously, that say, what we have done here is given the reason that people are going to buy from you. And if you don't have that reason, then they can go somewhere else and you won't know it. And so really, essentially, it's about what your business is built around. And I present the value of, and I said it is going to come back to you many, many times over, because we're going to integrate this into all aspects of your operation. So it's not just going to be lip service, but it is going to be something that you are going to be living and believing, and it's what's really the number one thing for making your business explode.
Very good. Well, look, any questions for Bill on USPs, anything at all, please. This is the time to grill him. Just jump right in.
Bill, do you find some type of formula or gut feel when you go into industries that are entirely different from each other? How do you handle it? I mean, how do you structure something for a manufacturer as opposed to a tanning salon or a grocery chain or a large retail box store?
There's a couple different ways of coming up with a USP. And basically, you sit down with them, or you do it over the phone, and you ask them questions, and then you listen for what they say. And usually, they blurt out the USP without really realizing it. So all you have to do is just know what these questions are, okay? And you guys should copy these down because they're valuable, all right? I mean, one of the questions that Dan Kennedy uses is he says, okay, what's your greatest frustration about dealing with whatever it is, widget A, or this type of business? You ask the customers, and if the customers come back and they say, oh, what I really hate is blah, 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 and if you can fill those gaps in the marketplace, if that business is filling those gaps or that's why people come to that business, and you just articulate it, that's one of the ways of getting a USP. Another way is, besides asking the customers, why do you come here, you can ask the firm, well, finish this sentence. We're the only ones in our market that does blank. And sometimes that's the USP. Okay, we're the only ones that give a guarantee. We're the only ones that have 24-hour dry wash, whatever. And just having them finish the phrase, we're the only ones in our market that, like, well, guess what? If they're the only one in the market that do something, that's part of the USP. That's making them unique. That's one of the things distinctive. That's why people are coming there, so that's the benefit. So you've got two factors of the USP. Now all you have to do is you have to word it in a way that's attractive to people and make sure people can believe it. You can also ask people, what makes our business dramatically different is that it's the only company to offer blank. Okay, and if you can get them to answer that, what makes them special? And if you just ask those questions and keep asking similar questions like that, you're going to get a response that when you look at it and sift it this way and that way, you usually can come up with the USP. For instance, in all your cities, there's definitely a bunch of dry cleaners. And sometimes, like where I am in my street, there's three dry cleaners. They're right in a row. Why do you go to one dry cleaner versus the other? They're all doing dry cleaning. There's got to be a particular difference between why you go to that one versus the others. Find out what that difference is and then what that benefit is that they're offering. That's their USP. So once you know that, you can go and you can tell that dry cleaner, all right, now start advertising this. And you're naturally going to explode the business versus your competitors because everybody's come to you because of this reason. If more people want that reason, it's attractive to them, and they believe you, then you're going to start drawing the customers. So you see, the guy that wins is the guy that makes himself different from everybody else, and people know they have a benefit that they're offering, and they project it into the marketplace in a way that's believable. And that's the really important thing, because people don't really believe everything today. And one of the things that makes things believable is when you have a guarantee. Not words like we care or honest or best or cheapest for USP. You have to say something like 20% lower, guaranteed, you know, specificity. So those are the things that you can use to create a USP. Bonuses or premiums become part of a USP, a guarantee, discounts. If you're doing 24-hour service, that can be a USP, better credit terms. You know, there's all sorts of things that can be a USP. I think if you take a look on the Internet and Google J. Abraham USP, he wrote a really good paper on crafting USPs, and it's free. It's on the Internet. And you'll get an idea of how factors like this can be part of the USP. And all you have to do is then just word it correctly in a terse way or a way that's appealing to people, because you don't want it too long if you possibly can reduce it. And that's what I mean by making it sing. So there's all sorts of factors you can come upon, but once again, I'm going to say over and over again, you got to basically say to people, come to us or buy this, and you're going to get this promised benefit. And that particular promise is unique. Nobody else can claim it. So you're dramatically different, if you can be dramatically different. If you can't be dramatically different, you try to make yourself as different as possible, as unique as possible, as distinct as possible. And you try to word it in such a way, or make the offer so good that it's compelling. Okay, 2-for-1 pizza. Or thick crust pizza, or pizza with natural ingredients. Anyway, you try to make it really compelling, and you say it in such a way there's a real reason to believe the claims. Otherwise, there's no credibility. You can say a lot of stuff, and if people don't believe you, they're not going to just come. That's why, for instance, when people announce sales on TV or on the radio, and they say why there's a sale, oh, well, we overstocked, or, you know, we had a warehouse flood, and we want to get rid of this stuff. When they announce a reason why they're having a sale, always you get a lot more customers. So in your marketing information, when you have a USP and you explain, well, the reason why you do this, that always helps the firm with the sales. And in direct marketing, I'm sure you guys are learning direct marketing, people always add guarantees or risk reversals, which is a credibility mechanism. They add testimonials, okay? They show the scientific pedigree behind the product. They give people's personal experience. Whenever you explain that, that's the credibility or the real reason to believe factor. If you put that in all the marketing materials, then people tend to believe your USP. Otherwise, you don't want to just say something and it's not provable. I remember, I think it was Dove or Ivory Soap that had 99.99 pure. The fact that they had given how much pure their soap was to several decimal places made people believe, wow, they really must be pure. So when you have a USP, always try to work in some factor to it, a guarantee or some type of specificity, something that makes people say, wow, these guys must really be real. And so if you keep asking people basic questions, you're going to get a bunch of stuff like that, and then all you have to do is rework it.
So let me ask you this. Now, on a consulting mode, you go in, you're going to present that you're going to charge a client $3,000 to develop a USP, and the client says, why should I pay you $3,000 to develop what you call a USP? What's the reason why I need to do it? How are you going to sell it? What are you going to tell that client?
Well, you're basically asking me why I would sell a USP for $3,000, and that's not part of my actual marketing scheme or whatever.
How would you defend the importance of a USP?
Here's what I would say for you guys. You'd say, look, if you want your business to explode, and somebody on the call said this, the fundamental part is identifying why customers come to you or how you're going to steal customers from competitors, and that's your USP. That's step one of this process. You can't stop there. It's a multi-step process. For me to charge $3,000, it's got to be that I'm selling them a multi-step process, and this is the first step. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Paul, did you want to say?
There's really a couple of other things within the HMA step one that we are bringing besides the USP, because we are conducting a competitive analysis. And we're giving somebody a matrix on their competition. And when I've gone in and said, this is how your competition answers the phone, this is what their pricing structure is, that opens some eyes for the customer. So you've done some competitive analysis in there as well, and that has a great deal of value.
Well, you just sold market research to them, basically.
Yeah.
Totally different than just delivering a USP.
Right. It's a combination of how the HMA system is set up, so, and it also includes in that market research is customer interviews. So we're telling the client what these customers are saying about them, and when I've had my client's customers who say good things about them, I said, if I were to summarize that in a letter and we sent it over to you, could you put it on your letterhead and send it back to me? So when I go into my client, I go in with a USP in testimonial letters from their clients as well as competitive research, and they look at it and say, wow, that for a couple grand.
Yeah, these are great, and that's why I'm trying to pull it out of the consultants. What value are you really selling? You're not really selling just a piece of paper with a USP with a slogan or a statement. You're selling intelligence. You're selling competitive analysis. You're selling all kinds of valuable information that they wouldn't know unless they hired you to do this.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, I couldn't sell a USP for $3,000 unless I was telling them it was the first part of a multi-step process, because people just want to buy it. However, I could could sell for $3,000, a market competitive analysis and the USP, and they would buy that because they always have the option at that point, because they just got market analysis, now they know where they stand, of never going further, because now they can do with the information whatever they want. But just the USP itself for $3,000, you really just couldn't do it unless I would really strive to say this is the first part of the process. Otherwise, they don't know what to do with it. So if they wouldn't know what to do with it, who's going to buy it unless they're already committed to steps 2, 3, 4, and 5?
Well, that's a good point. So when you're selling your USP consultant, you may want to think about packaging it, taking the 4 steps of the USP, and instead of saying, I'm going to develop you a USP for $3,000, this is what you're going to get. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and explain each one of those 4 steps so you've packaged it and you've made it appear to have more value to the client.
And it's now worth $15,000.
That's right, and you're only getting it for $3,000.
Yeah. Right.
And one of those things also I'll just reiterate is that going in there with testimonial letters, because during the opportunity analysis, I'm saying, what are your customers saying about you? And if they're saying good things, do you have it in writing to show potential clients? I say, well, I ask for testimonials and referrals, and I never get them. And when you go in and lay 5 of them down in front of them, that's huge.
Since right now, if you could get a digital recorder and get the permission when you're doing the research and you're talking to the customers, I mean, I've done this, and a lot of the customers just give glowing testimonials, but if you can get their permission to record that, and you go back to the client and play that for the client, they're blown away hearing how great they are and all the great things about them and their service and their business, and they're just like putty in your hand.
Now you've created a package. You can say, look, I'm going to do competitive research and show where you stand. Second deliverable is I'm going to give you testimonials that you can now use on all your marketing documents. Third is I'm going to create for you a USP. They don't know what that is, which you can use in all your marketing now to basically catapult your business forward. You see what I mean? You just now for $3,000 gave them 3 separate things they can use any which way and then leave you afterwards and not have any commitment going forward. And now you have a package that, oh, wow, I can get, oh, and then the polling as well, all right? So there's all those things that they're getting in that. You just break it up and say, here's what you're going to get for the first $3,000. And then after that, whatever you do on top of that, you'd have to figure out what it is you're going to offer in other chunks. But now you've got 4 or 5 things. But it'd be very hard to go into somebody and say, for $3,000, I'll give you a USP. You don't even know what a USP is. They all know they need testimonials. They all want to know, hey, poll our customers. They all want to know what the competitive space is. People will pay for that.
Could I ask another question?
Sure.
Did one of you gentlemen write a book on how to develop a USP?
Bill?
Yeah, I wrote a book on that. It's at USPNicheMarketing.com.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought I'd recognize your voice, USPNicheMarketing.com. Why don't you make a solid deal on that book today, man? Give us a cut rate price.
Yeah, sure. That's no problem. If you guys want that, sure. We'll give you half off or more.
Whoever wants the book half off, email me, let me know, and I'll arrange it with Bill to get you the book at half off.
Yeah, so it didn't hurt to try, Michael.
Absolutely. You don't get it unless you ask.
When I started out in marketing, you know, I bought $100,000, $200,000 worth of marketing documents. J. Abraham, then Kennedy. And you really have to go up the learning curve really quick. USP is the foundational thing. If you don't have this right, or if the customer has it wrong, it's so hard to market and make it go forward. You really want to find out why they're different, why they're distinctive. Once you got that, it's easy to write all the other marketing and the copywriting or whatever once they know what's the gist of their business and why it's different. Of course, the market can always change, and then they have to come up with a new product, but that's not something you have to worry about. You just really want the right thing that you have to be promoting to people to get them to buy. And that's what copywriting is all about, too. It's like, what's the big promise for people? So the first thing you really want to do when you look at the business is, and a lot of times they know, is you just want to know, why are they different? Why are people buying? What's the USP? And if you can come up with that and then make it succinct, because making it succinct is what I call making it sing. You don't have to get it to one of these phrases like Breakfast of Champions or Avis, We Try Harder or Diamonds Are Great if you can, but you don't have to. You just have to identify it and start telling them, use this promise, this USP everywhere. And then also you got to tell them, start organizing your business that if this is why everybody's coming to you, make your business ship shape that it starts reflecting more and more of that everywhere. So you sort of build up a brand image in people's mind of, hey, these guys really do that. And if you can get them to do that, that's basically what you really, really want to do. Mike, can I give him a case study?
Absolutely.
This is not mine. This is another marketing consultant. I remember this case study. It was of a window manufacturer in Britain, I think it was, where people would order windows on Monday and the builders would get it 2 or 3 days later. So this guy wanted a competitive advantage. He wanted a USP. And he was making the windows at night so that he could deliver the windows 2 or 3 days later. So what this guy did was he said, all right, well, there's thousands of window manufacturers or hundreds or dozens or whatever that were competing for window business for builders in Britain. So he said, let's first change our guarantee. Let's make our 5-year guarantee a 10-year guarantee. And the reason they were able to do that is because they realized that the returns are all made in the first 6 months. So if we had a 5-year guarantee, we might as well make it 10 years. And then they said, well, if it's 10 years, why don't we make it a lifetime guarantee? So then they made, for their windows, a lifetime guarantee for the lifetime that people own a home. And people usually own a home, it's about 7 years over here in the U.S. Over in Britain, I think it's about 5 or 6 years. They had a lifetime guarantee, which was subject to the manufacturer's warranty on the glass for the product. So if the glass manufacturer has a 1-year warranty, he's just basically guaranteeing labor after the first year. And so then he basically would go back and he'd offer the new homeowner a guarantee for a price. And then he basically redid his factory so that he was making the windows quicker. So basically what happened was, I remember the sales shot up from 200 windows a week to 400 windows a day. And all he did was he basically said, well, what are we doing? Let's make a guarantee in our USP. He made it a lifetime guarantee. In order to do that, he basically rearranged his firm so that he was making the windows quicker as well. That was part of the USP. And then the business just shot up. So you see, the first thing you got to do is you got to analyze the business. What's going to make us different? Okay, what's our benefit? What's our different? What's unique? Then once you get that, let's start broadcasting it everywhere. And then another step is, okay, well, let's reshape our factory or our firm so that it can deliver that and reflect upon that. And the case study to me was so great because of the fact that the sales difference from 200 windows a week to 400 windows a day was dramatic because exact same product. They just basically came up with a USP after analyzing everything, which is what appealed to people. So sometimes you don't even have to change the product. You just say, well, what do people want? And you find that, and then you just word it in the right way, and that's your USP. You start broadcasting it everywhere. You hit the right button, then you've got something that will work.
Okay, that's great. Anyone else? Any other questions regarding USP for Bill?
Hi, Bill. It's Stephen Scotland. I've just got a quick question for you. Once you think you've come up with a really good USP for a company, then you would go through a test and measure procedure. How does that manifest itself? How would you go about that?
Well, usually, you know, that's their business to do that. For my business, I just usually help people come up with a USP. I usually don't get into the second part of that. But most of those people, I would say 100% of them usually know right away when we hit it that that's the right thing. For instance, we had an agency for hiring people. They wanted to find out what should their USP be, and it turns out because they were pre-screening people in a different way, they could deliver a qualified candidate to a company usually within 2 interviews, whereas everybody else was taking 5 or 7 interviews. So that became their USP and their promise and their guarantee. And then they knew right away, oh, that must be it. And we had a roofer, and his USP became the 7-guarantee roofer because he was offering 7 guarantees and nobody else in the market had any guarantees. That became his USP. And I didn't bother to do any follow-up on it because they just knew once they had it, all they ended up doing was encapsulating in their USP exactly why people were coming to them. So there wasn't really any follow-up. You usually know right away. It's not usually vague. You usually know what it is that's making people come to you. So that's what I can tell you. I don't usually get into that part of it, but in 100% of the cases, it's never actually been a problem. You usually know right away. And here's the thing. It's not so hard to come up with the USP when you talk to the people, but they're working so hard on their business, they can't see it. They usually mention it to you when you're doing an interview with them. It just comes right out of their mouth, but they usually just don't know it, or they don't know enough about marketing that it never connects with them, that that's what they should be advertising because that's why people are coming to them. You'd be surprised. It's so obvious to you because you're on the outside looking in, but for them, they're just so darn busy working on their business that what's obvious to you is, you know, they've been at their business for 10, 15 years. It just escapes them. So it's not as hard as you guys may think it is. Really, you just have to practice with a couple people. However, I found that they amongst themselves, they don't have this training on what a USP is. So even if they read a manual in the USP, they still are in their own groupthink. Whereas if you're in them with a mastermind session or you listen in, you usually pick it up immediately. And it's not because you're brilliant, it's just because they're in groupthink. So I'm basically, once again, trying to tell you, it's usually not as hard as you may think it is. Trust me on that, it really isn't. But you're going to find that they usually don't know what it is because they've never really thought about it the way that you're structuring it. They're just so busy doing the business, and they're in sort of a mass hypnosis groupthink that they can't look at it the way that you're looking at it. But just with a couple questions, God's honest truth, guys, I'm not cheating you, you usually can get one within an hour. 80% of the time, it's within 40 minutes. Unless it's something that's a business like a grocery store where they're the same as everybody else, in which case you have to ask the customers why they come in or whatever. You know, the really tough ones are the ones where it's a me too type business. That's the one where you really have to think about it. But usually for most people, they'll tell you why people come to them, why they're different than other people. Because if those guys are hiring you, you got to remember this too. If those guys are hiring you, they're usually pretty astute, because regular companies aren't usually going to hire you. It's the people who know they need something, who are usually smart and willing to try something. They're usually a little different than the people that aren't going to do anything and just go along with business. So those guys, being a little bit sharper than others, usually have a USP that they develop without even knowing it. It's just that they usually don't know how to elucidate it. And I've always been amazed as to why they don't know that that's their USP, because, you know, that's what it is. It's usually rarely apparent. So don't think it's really that hard. Just basically find out, why are people coming to them? And if they don't know, you basically have to ask their customers. Because 80% of the profits usually come from about 20% of the customers. So just find out four or five of their best customers and ask them why they do business with those folks. And then you're going to usually get the answer.
Okay, great. We've only got about 15 more minutes. Does anyone else have a question on USPs for Bill? If not, I wanted to bring something up that was pretty interesting, and it had to do with Rob when he was doing his opportunity analysis for his clients, and he had a situation where he was at a management meeting, and he was presenting and trying to accomplish the opportunity analysis questionnaire for multiple people. And Rob, can you tell the story of how you kind of ditched that and you went to printing out the slides of the PowerPoint and how that kind of made a difference for you in getting that client?
I went through the actual form that we have in the system a few times with a couple of different businesses. It just wasn't clicking for me personally, but I knew the information on it enough where I didn't need the form. So what I did is I just went to the 30-minute slideshow that Richard had put together, and I printed out some of those slides, and I put HMA instead of 21st century on them. And I basically just printed out in black and white, 7 handouts, one for each person at the table, and we just flipped through it together, and I found it really effective, because normally if I'm just asking people, they don't have anything in their hands, they're all over the place. They're talking about all kinds of stuff and wasting time. When they were going through this with me, I'm the only one in the suit, so definitely had some rapport from that. I found that they stayed right on track. They instantly positioned me as the resident expert here right now, because I had the information and I was taking them through something new, and it worked great. And I just got to the end of the last piece of paper of the slideshow, which in PowerPoint you can just go and print out the slides. I just used the thing Mr. Flannery had shared at our last conference call about, you just look at the main decision maker and say, what do you see as the next step for us? And that's what closed the deal.
I appreciate you sharing that. Paul, how about you? Have you had to present or pitch in front of multiple people using the opportunity analysis? And if so, were there any challenges that way?
Yes. Keeping on track was a major challenge, and I'm starting the program with my attorney. That was a challenge because I have 5 guys in the room, and they're all looking at things totally different, and that's a great suggestion for keeping it on track, because I've also had that challenge with individuals where they want to start talking about their actual business, and if you give them a tip or two, what they find is, okay, well, what can I do to squeeze more free advice out of this guy? But yeah, that's been a challenge.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. How about Jim? Jim, are you still with us? Jim Kinesi?
No, I'm here. I'm always on mute, so I can never get
that. Okay, no problem. Do you have anything you want to share when you were presenting to that client? How did you handle it? You had multiple people in front of you, correct?
Right, I did.
So how did you do it? Did you use opportunity analysis, or did you use a variation of it? How was that for you?
When I did that, I hadn't even seen the opportunity analysis yet. I literally had just bought your program and downloaded one interview. I literally had only the interview. The way I did it, I always go in asking, what makes you different, which is one of the first questions. Why do people buy from you? But then they always give me the same answer. It's always the typical, very generic answer. So then I said, let's break that down. What makes that a benefit? Because being a copywriter, I realize most people may have some sort of benefit. Like, let's say it saves me money, saves me time. But they don't understand how to break that down into a real benefit. I took that first question, why do people buy from you? And let's find out what the real benefits are from this. And I started breaking it down even more from them. So I sort of just treated it like a copywriting process. And they started giving me the answers. These people are interior designers. They work with developers, very high-end developers. And they basically gave me all the feedback that the developers had given them and what the benefit actually is from the developer's point of view. So it's just breaking down that very first question.
All right, very good. We've only got about 10 more minutes, and then we're going to have to end the call. I wanted to try something a little different. I wanted to bring even more value to these calls as we get going. And this is for anyone who wants to participate. And I want to use the last 10 minutes of this call to use it somewhat as like a marketing mastermind, because each one of you on the call has different expertise. You have different professions. You can bring different things to the table that maybe some of the other consultants could use or would like to know about you. And I'd like to kind of start creating more of a mastermind where all of us could work together and use each other's strengths and maybe rely on each other if you're willing to participate. So only if you're willing to participate, I'd like to go around whoever's on the call just to introduce themselves, to tell where they're from, what they do, and anything that they could offer as help or support to any of the other consultants. And we've got to keep it really succinct, maybe about a minute or a minute and a half each. Paul, would you be willing to start?
Well, sure.
And also, Paul, I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes because what you emailed me, you were talking about pulling some resources for lead generation.
That's correct.
Go ahead.
My name is Paul Flood. I live in Fairfield, Ohio, which is a suburb of Cincinnati, and I've been really actively promoting the HMA consulting practice since the end of last year. I have a background in product management and development for very large corporations and office equipment, and background in sales management as well. I think particular skills I bring and are available include small business marketing. I was a chairman of a local chamber of commerce, so I have a very good perspective on what to offer small businesses. I also am fairly decent copywriter and can write good sales copy, so if anybody needs help in that range, I can do that as well. One of the things that I had emailed to Michael yesterday about pooling some resources is obviously listening to a couple of the past conference calls, we do seem to be asking for a lot of the same things, and one of them was being good telemarketers. Any of those of us who have tried to find a telemarketer have known that it's a hit or miss proposition, and it can be fairly expensive if you've got a weak learning curve and you're dropping $300-$400 onto somebody and you don't know if they're going to work out. I have contacted a couple of professional telemarketing firms to see if they would be interested in setting appointments for me, and then I was looking at the fees that they were charging, and one guy was saying, well, I can get you 100 or 150 appointments a year, and that's obviously too many for me to handle. He was also going to charge $800 to set up the scripting and things. That got me thinking, well, if there's other people in the country who would be willing to invest as well in a professional telemarketer with a good series of references, I'd be more than willing to lead the initiative to get it going and try to get some details from these people.
Excellent. I appreciate it. If anyone's interested, please email me and I will put you in touch with Paul.
Could I go next? Because I've got to go.
Yeah, Gary Carter.
My name is Gary Carter. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. You will find me on the first page of the audio clips. I guess I'm still on the first page down next to the bottom about asset protection. I'm an expert in asset protection. I also do estate planning. I've done it for years for attorneys. I can give you advice in that area. I'm also a retirement planner. I can help you to plan a retirement where you'll never run out of money, lose principal or interest again. I also help you to find money. I'm a certified entrepreneur advisor. I can help entrepreneurs start up a business without giving up any ownership in their company. And I do have resources of billions of dollars of capital. I do use other people to do some of these things. Basically, I take a cacophony and turn it into a symphony. I have extreme knowledge on working with charities. I'm very versed on offshore planning and offshore structuring. I'm very versed on business structuring, on how to establish your business, what type of entity you should be looking at, and I also work a lot with charities and helping them and working with senior citizens and helping them to protect their assets and plan their futures. So if I can help you in any of those areas, you can contact Mike and he'll put you in touch with me.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Bill, how about you? What kind of services are you providing? You did talk to me a little bit about lead generation, and is there anything you want to add about that?
The focus of my business is, you know, I have a bunch of joint ventures, and the big thing that I'm starting to do over this last year is generate leads for companies. So we generate leads for companies in all sorts of industries, whether it's a roofer, off school, or now we're talking to some business schools. You know, if somebody has a product or a service and they need more leads, we're using the internet to generate leads at a fraction of what the normal costs are. And that's something I would recommend you guys take a look at. Besides learning how to do the USP, get your clients to do 2 things as well. One is, if they need to get leads, because it's cheaper than anything else, and the other thing is, just do direct marketing in some form or another. because you're going to help them bundle if you can get them to just do anything that's more direct marketing oriented than institutional advertising oriented. So those are like the big three things I want you guys to think about in the back of your heads when you're trying to help all these firms.
All right, very good. We've got to end the call. The interference is getting pretty bad, and I've got to go. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Bill, a big thank you. I think it was a great call. I think we got a lot of ideas on how to package and build more value into a USP. I think it was very helpful. You did a wonderful job, and all the consultants who are online, thank you very much for participating. Please go to the HMA University, look at all the new stuff, and just stick with it. If anyone needs anything, just email me. As always, I'll get right back with you. And thanks, everyone, for joining. Okay, guys. Bill, thank you again, really.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Michael with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com and another bonus tip. How would you like to turn your $28 book or ebook or even a concept in your head into a $3,900 information product? I'll provide you the secrets on how to do this. If you'd like a completely free 30-day trial of my system for turning your simple book or even just a concept in your mind into an information product that you can sell for $97, $197, or even as much as $3,900 or more. This system includes a whole range of tricks and tips to help you pack your audio program full of great stories that take control of your listeners' brains. My information product creation system comes with my personal guarantee that you'll create an information product worth from $97 to $497 that's designed to sell like hotcakes. This is a 30-day free trial. If you'd like information on this, please email me at Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. In the subject line, write in all caps, $28 book, and I'll email you information on how to turn your $28 book or even a concept in your mind into a $3,900 information product. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff, HardToFindSeminars.com. Here is another bonus tip and a valuable service that I offer to select clients. If you can talk into an ordinary telephone, you can be selling your own high-priced audio programs in as little as 7 days. This is the easiest way on earth to create a series of powerful audio recordings for your own information product. I call you on an ordinary telephone and interview you live on a series of related hot topics about your niche subject. I take care of all the editing, all the technical stuff, and I give you the finished MP3s or WAV files and audio transcripts. I only have time to give this deluxe personalized service to a few more carefully selected clients. If you're interested in developing and creating your own valuable information products that you could have complete in as short as 7 days and be selling for as high as $300, $500, even $3,900, please contact me at Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. In the subject line of your email, please write info product information in all capital. Make sure I have your name and a way to contact you by phone and we can talk about your specific ideas. Or you may call me at 858-274-7851. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. And it's called an audio infomercial. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you and giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. This tip is one that is dear to my heart, and the reason why is because I know what a difference it can make for your business. It has to do with editing your audio recordings. If you are using audio online or offline to sell, market, and educate your prospects, this tip will be the most important tip you ever hear from me. Editing your audio content before you publish it to your site simply gets better results compared to unedited audio content. Think about this. A new song on the radio may be in the editing studio for months before it's released to the public. A new movie may take years in the editing process before it's released to the big screen or on DVD. Well-written sales letters, online promotions, books, and commercials are all meticulously edited to perfection before they are released. You would never dream of releasing an unedited version of any of these sales vehicles, so why would you publish unedited audio? Unedited audio content is abandoned by the listener faster, it produces less sales for you, and it actually destroys your credibility as a publisher. So why are we seeing so much unedited content proliferating the internet? The reason is simple. There are very few people who offer audio editing services who know what they are doing. Editing audio is kind of like plastic surgery. It's part skill and part an art form. You need someone with both the skill to do it and someone who understands marketing and selling. A poor result can be gained by both a skilled surgeon as well as a good technical editor. Who you choose to do your audio editing can be one of the best investments in your business. At HardToFindSeminars.com, we have been editing online and offline web content for 6 years. We have perfected a proprietary editing system that has been proven to get your customers to listen to your audio content longer and to listen to it more often, resulting in more sales for you more often, and with clean edited audio, you can demand more money for your products and services. It's just like in life, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Every time you release and publish unedited audio content, you are projecting a poor, sloppy, I don't care attitude that turns your prospects off. Do your prospects a favor. Service them. Give them your best. Do them a favor by giving them professionally edited audio messages, interviews, teleseminars, and selling promotions by editing your audio. We provide full audio editing services that are fast and at a reasonable rate. We know that editing your audio content can easily pay for itself 20 times over. Call me, Michael Senoff, for more information at 858-274-7851. I'll spend some time on the phone with you. We'll determine what audio content you're publishing. I'll be glad to offer you a free consultation on my ideas. I'll review some of your audio, and together we'll come up with a solution that gets you better results. Thanks for listening.